Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Gaura Premanande Hari 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 Bol Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Vishatari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON, Chapter 7, Text 27. Yeah, give it to you.
Ichha-dvesha-samuthena
Dvandva-mohena-bharata Sarva-bhutani-sammoham Sarge-yanti-parantapa It's good to know what the words mean also. You had said sarva bhutani samoham sarva, but if it's sarge, sarge here means the creation. So sarge, in the creation. If you know what the words mean, it helps to remember it. And it's also good to know what the words mean, not just to chant it. Once in Dallas, I believe it was, devotees brought Srila Prabhupada, the Gurukul boys, and they chanted a chapter of Gita by heart. And then he asked them if they could say the meanings. They didn't know. For the Indian boys, Indian and Nepali, it should be easier because many of the words appear in your language. Icha is a common word in all Indian languages. In Nepal also? Nepali? Icha. Dvesha is a common word. Dvesh. You have? In modern Hindi, they might not say it so much. They'd use some nafarat or something like that. Hingsa is a more or less a synonym. Irsha, they're more or less synonyms. Dvesha is common. Samuthena, that you might not get. Dvandva, yeah. It should be understood, dvandva, but exactly contextually what it means. Dvandva, duality. Dvandva is often means a dilemma, is it not? You have the word dilemma also in Russian. Something like that. Mohina, moha is easily understood. Sarva, simple Sanskrit. Bhutani wouldn't be understood, but if you understand, if you read Bhagavad Gita, then you should be able to understand. Sammoham, yeah, it's moha again, and sammoha means complete. Sarge, that means sarga here means the creation. Atra sarga visargascha in the 10 topics of Bhagavatam, the first is yanti means to go. So like that, you should be able to pick it up. Anyway, as I more or less did the word for word already, we'll go straight into the translation. O scion of Bharat. Actually, this word scion, most people, English-speaking people, might not understand what it means. It's quite a somewhat anachronistic. What's the word? Anachronistic word? It's out of old kind of English. O scion of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe. Even the word foe is not much used in contemporary English. O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Yeah, a word like foe, that would be understood by people who read books, because in older books it's quite common. Purport, the real constitution of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. It's an interesting statement. The Supreme Lord is supreme knowledge. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. The Mayavadis, they like to quote that. They say the supreme is supreme knowledge, that's all. Satyam, what I just said, satyam jnanam anantam brahma, but they don't ascribe any personality. Well, he is pure knowledge, but there's more to it than that. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. apart from desire and hate, Ichha Dvesha can also be understood to mean attraction and repulsion. So there's Sankalpa Vikalpa. We like to accept things that we think are nice for our sense gratification, and we like to reject those things which we think are inimical to our sense gratification. Anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya varjanam, applied. Accepting things which are favorable and rejecting things which are unfavorable in relation to maya, or ichha. We accept ichha, that which we want, we desire, and that which we reject, dvesha. So, this is a common syllogism, I guess. Pair of opposites, attraction and repulsion, which is mentioned in Gita, various places. Raga-dvesha, viyuktaistu. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ichha Dvesha. Desire, material desire and envy or hatred of others go together. Desire means one desires to enjoy the senses. Then one becomes in competition with other sense enjoyers. One of the prominent material desires is to show one to be a greater enjoyer than others, as a sense of prestige, to show oneself to be better than others or greater than others. Which is, it's a major factor in human society, especially in the demoniac modern age, that people's who have money, spend lots of money to show off their wealth. And one of the prime manifestations of this is buying expensive cars, which the moment you buy it, the value goes down. But and even expensive cars with probably the exception of Rolls-Royce, which is extremely expensive, they all have planned obsolescence, which means that you have to change them every day. So it's a very bad investment. But people like it. Just like this car that was made, this Tata car, what was that called? The Nano. Nano, it was a flop because it was too cheap. They thought they'd make cars for everyone, but then it did. No one wanted to buy it because it's too cheap. I guess that's the reason why it didn't catch on, because if you're going to buy a car, if you're going to spend 1 lakh, why not spend another 2 or 3 lakhs and get a car, which at least a Maruti, it's significantly more expensive than a Bajaj two-wheeler. So if the car is not much more expensive than a motorbike, then why bother to buy? Why? What's the prestige in it? It's prestige to go up from having a motorbike in India, for those of you who don't know. Having a motorbike is not fun as it might be in the West. People mostly use it for fun, isn't it? Not really for getting here and there. But in India, it's the probably nowadays the most common mode of transport for individuals and even families. You'll see whole families on one motorbike. Family means 2 plus 2. The dog stays at home. So when you go from a motorbike to a car, that's a step up. But if you only step up to a car that costs only a little bit more than a motorbike, then there's no real prestige in it, which is, I guess, is the main reason why the Tata Nano failed. They thought it was going to be a huge success. Now everyone can have a car. It's good it wasn't, otherwise the traffic jams would be a lot worse than they are, even though the Nano by its very name is small. But Ichha, that's the point I'm making. It's just a demonstration. I don't want to get too much into talking about Indian cars. But that's a demonstration of the principle that desire and prestige and envy, they're all mixed up in this material world. So envy is the basic principle of material existence. Of course, we always quote the Pungsastriya Mituni Bhava Metam, the verse that sex desire is the basic principle of material existence. But the basic principle of sex desire is envy, not love. People think sex means love, but love in this material world is an expression of envy. Where one person wants to, it's mutual exploitation. And the basis of that envy is envy of Krishna. So when one loves Krishna, then he loves everyone. When you're envious of Krishna, then the envious are everyone. And there are grades of it, of course. It's the demons, they're different kinds of people born in this world. The demons are very envious. And the godly, they try to be good somewhat. That's a question that... philosophy, it's a question of philosophy, which they can never really solve it. Is man by nature inherently good or inherently bad? The answer is both. How can that be? Well, inherently good, as that's our nature, to be good, to be spiritually pure. But when we come in, but in this material world, we become bad. So we have two natures, and that's why there's struggle of the conscience. And people, they know that doing something is wrong, but still they feel impelled to do it. Struggle between being good and being bad. But there are gradations also, and we'll see that there are what we might call good people to some extent all over the world, and bad people to some extent all over the world. Although conditioning is a major factor, we'll find generally in places where there's people live like this in the country, generally people are of better disposition, more willing to help others, not so much inclined to exploit others. Which is one reason we have this Gurukul here, away, far from the madding crowd. A major point of this Gurukul is to raise children in a protected atmosphere. Protected means protected from the vice of the cities, the Icha and Dvesha, the grossly materialistic atmosphere of the cities, so that they naturally grow up to be good. Of course, those who are here, they have to protect them and nurture them, just like the plants, they have to be protected and nurtured. And what I saw, some just out the front here, some little neem plants have started to grow, and some bricks have been put around them to protect them, so the neem trees can grow. So some protection is needed. You don't need to water them much. They grow, neem trees grow in a, even in a drought-like climate like here, even a little rain a year is will help to nourish them. But young boys need a lot of nourishing to grow. So this atmosphere is so that they can grow very nicely and be very good. Generally, if children are treated well, then they'll grow up good, although they may get bad association later. There may be some exceptions. Vena, his father was pious, and there were good brahmanas advising his father, but he was very demoniac by nature. It may be also that someone grows up in bad association is still good. There was the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, but there was one other born from a Vaishya wife. Who was that? Yuyutsu was his name? Yuyodhan, was it? Yuyodhan, who joined the Pandavas. And there was also one of them, whose name I just don't remember now, maybe one of you will remember, who actually protested when Draupadi was being... Vikarna, when Draupadi was being insulted, even though Bhishma and others didn't, but he did. So Bhima made the vow to kill all the sons of Duryodhana for that offense, but after he killed Vikarna, he did a parikrama of his body out of respect, that he's actually good, but he's in bad company. So it may be that someone grows up in bad company and becomes good, or someone grows up in good company and becomes bad, but generally it's round the other way. So we're trying to nurture these children, and all these communities are meant for nurturing good qualities, and the good qualities come from Krishna consciousness. Yes, yasti bhakti bhagavate kinchana sarvaya gunais tatra samasate suraha. Why is that? The good qualities come from Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness means to not be envious of Krishna. It means to love Krishna, to desire only to serve Krishna. So from that, the natural good qualities of the soul develop. On the other hand, harava bhaktasya kato mahanguna manoratena asiti dhavato bahi. If one is not a devotee of Krishna, then because his basic template is one of material desire and envy, then even the good qualities, they're not really good. They're not mahaguna. They're just on the mental platform. They're not solid, fixed, good qualities. So even the mode of goodness, unless that's cultivated in relation to devotional service, that will tend to impersonalism, which is also envy of Krishna. So one may practice being non-envious of other living beings, just like there are so many stories we'll find in Indian tradition, like the sadhu who has to take this scorpion, the sadhu is going to walk through the shallow water of the river, but the scorpion asks him to take him over, and the sadhu says, well, you know, you'll bite me. He said, no, I won't. But he went halfway through the river and the scorpion bit him. So the sadhu said, well, why did you do that? He said, well, I'm a scorpion, it's my nature. And then someone else was there and said, well, kill the scorpion. He said, no, I won't. He said, why not? Because I'm a sadhu, I don't do things like that. Although, modeta sadhu, what is that? Modeta vrischika, modeta sadharapi vrischika sarpahatya. Although Prahlad says that even a sadhu is pleased when a snake or a scorpion is killed. But maybe some sadhus don't read the Srimad Bhagavatam. They read other things. But even then, we may not kill unnecessarily. There may be so many snakes here, but we should distinguish which are poisonous and dangerous and which are not. And even if one is poisonous, if it's not coming around where we live, then we don't have to hunt out and kill them. Oh, now the Russians know we have snakes here. Don't run away. Sometimes devotees are afraid, oh, there's so many snakes and scorpions in the country. Yeah, you could die from snake and scorpion bite. True, it's true. You could do it. But then in the city, you could die from being hit by a bus, which is very unlikely to happen here. Probably snakes and scorpions in the cities also, but not so much. Electric shock is a common form of death. What else? Falling down the stairs. All kinds of things. Murder is more common. Even per capita. Because if we go to Bangkok, the city is full of snakes also. So many snakes there. We used to see so many snakes, especially during the rainy season, the whole city floods, and then see so many snakes. Walking in the house, and the snakes are swimming in the water inside the house. It's just a normal thing in Bangkok. People eat them, they're happy when the snakes come. You can get pickled snakes when it's out of season. Anyway, snakes are very envious by nature. Sarpa krura. They're very envious by nature. If someone is very envious by nature, they can get born as a snake. Sarpa krura, kala. A rascal is also very envious, but an envious human is more dangerous than a snake because mantro shodhi vashas sarpa. By mantras and various medicines, one can bring the snake under control, but not the envious person. So we want to raise the children in a non-envious atmosphere. Srila Prabhupada in one purport wrote that the Krishna conscious aims at creating a non-envious atmosphere. Very ambitious, seeing as this world is the world of envy. There's so many divisions in human society. It's even in Mayapur now, there's a whole thing going on with the Bengalis versus the foreigners. And if there weren't Western foreigners, then there'd be... maybe not in Mayapur, I didn't hear about that, but you'll find in Calcutta, there are many Oriya people, and the Bengalis don't like them, and they don't like the Biharis, and they don't like the UP Wale, and they don't like the Marwaris, and it's like that. And they don't like the people who came from East Bengal, who are also Bengalis, and so on. So always so many divisions in human society. So we want to raise children in an atmosphere of goodness where people they're not subjected to enviousness from the very beginning of their life, as you could be in a city. The kids growing up in a city, they learn from the very beginning how to be smart and sharp and protect themselves. Srila Prabhupada, some devotee once expressed to Prabhupada, how could you, coming from India, survive in New York City? Prabhupada said, I'm a Calcutta boy. The two cities are very similar in many ways. They're both crazy places, and really crazy. And the inhabitants take pride in their funky, let's say, they're being funky places. I don't know if there's a word in Russian for funky or in Indian languages. There's not much concept of funkiness. Ascharyavat. They're strange. The Pandavas, they were raised among rishis in the mountains, far from the city. And when they came to the city, they were shocked. They couldn't relate to the envy of Duryodhana and company. They were shocked. They just didn't imagine that anyone could behave with them or they didn't imagine that people could be like that, because the only people they'd lived with were their parents and the rishis, who must have been very affectionate, I guess, to the young boys there. But certainly they couldn't imagine. It seems that Arjuna, we find at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he still couldn't really come to terms with it. How is this Duryodhana? How is he being so bad? He still, after so many years, he just couldn't come to grips with the fact that Duryodhana was bad, very bad by nature. And he wanted to make some kind of compromise. All right, let them take the kingdom. Let them take it. Why should we fight Arjuna's proposition? So Duryodhana was an exceptionally evil person, but increasingly our whole world is like that. It's a place of increasing tamaguna as Kali Yuga progresses. Progresses means chronologically, as it devolves. Tatashchanu dinam dharma satyam shocham kshamadaya balena kalena balina rajan nangshantaya balang smritihi. At every single day of Kali Yuga, religious principles, truthfulness, cleanliness and purity, tolerance, compassion, kalena balinara, lifespan, bodily strength, mental strength, they all decrease. So that in one generation, you can see anyone who's lived one generation, say 30 years old, they can look back and see, well, in my childhood things were better. Everyone all over the world will say that. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. So it's the world is a world of dvesha, enviousness. Although there are dvabhuto sargo lokesmin daiva asura evacha, there are good people and bad people in the world. But in the Kali Yuga, the sinful qualities become more. The good people, they become less. So the enmity and enviousness becomes more and more and more. In the modern age, it seems it's almost easier to hate other than love others. Children, if they're raised in a loving atmosphere, we expect them to grow up with good qualities and able to love others. But in the modern age, it seems easier to hate than to love. Previously, at least in the West, parents were very careful. There were books for children which were supposed to help them to imbibe good qualities. And of course, in the Indian tradition, it was all storytelling. There are all kinds of things in there, but even though there's stories of good people and bad people, but good always triumphs. But then came the Western novel in which bad triumphs or evil triumphs. And in the modern age, parents, many of them don't even attempt to control what their children, and they don't read, they have the computer games or in their smartphones some games which are all games of killing people in the game. So it seems easier to hate than to love. It seems more natural, and it seems more natural for maybe than to be nasty to others than to be kind to them. It seems easier to hurt others than to help. To scoff at someone or to laugh at to take pleasure in their distress rather than to want to help to alleviate their distress. It's easier to give pain than to give happiness. If someone speaks to you in a certain way, then you want to retaliate. There's no respect for others. It's easier to reject others than to accept others. If there are difficulties in a relationship, it's easier just to say, just forget it. Leave it. Okay. Married, we don't like each other. Okay, just divorce. It's easier just to walk out than to try to work it through, try to find out what are the problems and resolve them. It's easier to ignore others than to care about them. That's their problem. They're in trouble, well, that's their problem. It's easier to renege on a commitment than to follow it through. You have a responsibility, you take it up, too much trouble, just leave it. This is Kali Yuga. And if there are disagreements, it's easier just make a court case or kill the other person. Solve the problem, just kill the other person. Or make some false charges against them. Recently, this Pope Francis, the Pope, the head of the Catholic Church, who's considered a big person in the world as he's the head of the largest religious domination. I guess in Russia people don't care much about him. Is it? What do they care about him? There are hardly any Catholics in Russia. You have the chief patriarch of the Orthodox Church. You have that. In the USSR there were Catholics. In Lithuania. Small number, yeah. Lithuania, anyways, tiny population. Half of them are Russians also. So it was in the paper, because I see the newspaper means it's on the internet nowadays. Because I looked to see some religious thing, how people are feeling. So it said it was very well received in America, and it said he was only there for a day or two, and it said that he spread love. Very vague. What does it mean? He spread love. Some good feelings. He met the president, Obama. He gave public speeches. But it's all very vague, just love, some feeling. But if he wanted to actually do something about love, he could have, for instance, advised President Obama to stop killing people with his drones and to withdraw from bombing people who've never done any harm to them, such as in Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, and so on. He never condemned that. We just love. It's pretty vague. I want to speak about the slaughter of literally millions of animals every day. What about love for them? No one thinks about that. The Western civilization, they call it civilization, but it's actually so gross. Especially the ones who consider themselves most civilized are the ones who It means the British especially, who conquered the world and then they separate, America separated from them. But what is their society? The British went all over the world and took over, then by various means, mostly, which means force, and exploited different places. The white man went to America, killed almost all of the people who were living there, killed all the bison, killed all the passenger pigeons, just for sport. There were literally billions of passenger pigeons in America, and then they just shot them all, killed them all. There are none left now. Civilized? They're not civilized. They're building slaughterhouses. They never think. I know, I never thought about it. Now, some people are beginning to think, but they cause so much pain to living beings. And what is their love? What is their civilization? They can't, even people who are trying to be good and nice and talk about human rights, but they never think that the animals, they're also suffering, they're being killed. So this idea, talking about love, 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 what's for dinner? Roast beef. Where's the love? It's so hypocritical. Talking of love is easy, but real love for us in this world, when we have its personal desires, iccha and dvesha, being envious of others, we actually have to make an effort and start to think. Atmaupam yena sarvatya samam pashati yojana. Sukham va yadiva dukham so sa yogi paramo mataha. The topmost yogi, Krishna says, is one who sees that, well, I'm not alone in the universe. It's not, oh, I'm interested in my own, in maximizing my own happiness and minimizing my own distress, but others also feel the same way. So we should feel for them also and not just feel for ourselves. That's the topmost yogi. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. The Vedic motto, let everyone be happy, not just myself. So it takes effort and training to think like that. But as I was saying, you want to create an atmosphere in which that is there, that it's not that one person is exploiting another, someone's trying to show himself, someone... Definitely in a society there's a hierarchy, but someone doesn't show himself, I'm big, you just get under my boots. But one takes a position because one has the ability to and the propensity to want to serve others and help others. Not that one takes a position to maximize one's own sense gratification. It's a completely different concept. The leader or the one in position is one who is more concerned with the welfare of others. It was when India first got political independence, people looked up to the politicians, Nehru, and think, oh, they had great faith in them. Oh, our leaders, they naturally thought they're very concerned for us because that's what they expected. But nowadays, no one expects the leaders to care for the citizens. They just see what people vote according to what they think they'll get the best deal. Otherwise, a politician known, proved, demonstrated to be corrupt, thrown out of office, and then again they come back. No one even cares that they're corrupt. They don't seem to care. They're just considered normal that the politicians are exploiting. But anyway, we'll go for the one who gives us the best deal out of being exploited. So we want to create a completely... these communities far away from this horrible society, which is just ratcheting up the personal desire, me, 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 me. And the me generation they spoke about in the Western world. Just everyone's interested in me. What are you interested in? Me. What else? Nothing else. Me, 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 me. I want. So real love means to get free from this egoism of thinking in terms of me, me, me. But the whole society is so messed up by this selfishness, which is godlessness, at least in truly civilized, or at least beginning to be civilized societies. There's some concept of God and duty to God. But now it's just selfishness, godlessness, this consumerism, consumer society, economy, in which the whole idea is you have to get more, 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 buy more and more things. And then people are saying, I have to get money, I have to buy more things. And each generation is getting worse because the consumerism increases as the Varna Sankara principle, that children who are born without any care as to how they're conceived, they're Varna Sankara. But we don't hear, among Chandalas, for instance, there's no Varna Sankara. They're anyway, they're just completely without any, they're expected to be born without any good qualities. But each generation just gets worse and worse and worse. And the tamagun increases more and more and more. And people are themselves more and more messed up. And they're so frustrated that they want to give pain to others. They mess others up more and more and more. And society becomes more and more hellish. And even within our ISKCON society, if we become some idea we should try to fit into this society, what a terrible idea. Why on earth would you want to be fit into this society? Of course, we may have to live side by side, but we should understand this society is completely messed up and demoniac. That doesn't mean we have to go around telling everyone, you're a demon, you're a demon, you're a demon. But we should understand that people are in very poor consciousness. We don't want to partake of their culture or their norms or even their laws. Even their laws, they force us to do all kinds of things, or they try to force us to do all kinds of things, which that's so Prabhupada's books are there. That's good. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. That we can know what the actual standard of human life is. Otherwise, we wouldn't even know. Even in India, people wouldn't know. The Prabhupada's books, they give the Shastric knowledge in a way that's completely relevant to the modern age and give directions how to live, how to come out of this. First of all, to understand it is a demoniac society and how to come out of it. What's the root cause of this demoniac mentality? Ichha dvesha, forgetfulness of Krishna, then material desires come, envy of Krishna, then even ordinary people, so-called ordinary, they don't care. They don't even think about the pain they inflict upon others, animals. And then when we're killing so many animals, then it becomes a normal thing just to kill other humans. I was just reading yesterday, there was a book written, Krishna and the Druze, something like this. Druze are some kind of nominally Muslim people. They're called Druze, that's the name of them. They're nominally Muslim, but actually they have their own religion. And they reside in Israel, Lebanon, and around that area. So some of our devotees were preaching there and found them very receptive. I wonder what happened to all that Druze preaching, because actually they believe in reincarnation. I saw on a Islamic website, are the Druze Muslims? He said, no, they're not. They're just pretending to be Muslims, and which is a fact. And so How should a Muslim treat them? They should be killed. There you go. Solution to the problem. In that book it stated the experiences of some devotees who were preaching there in the 1980s, I believe it was, or maybe 1980s, early 90s. So there was mentioned in there that some Israeli soldiers had killed a Palestinian. And so the whole of all the Palestinians and the Druze and all the, they're all in uproar because the Druze, even though they're nominally Muslims, they have some sympathy for the Palestinians who are, as far as I know, pretty much all Muslims. At least the Palestinians still in Palestine. So there were roadblocks, and they were very disturbed that how had these Israeli cult soldiers, without any apparent motivation, killed some Palestinian. But now it's just it's the Israeli government policy to just bomb and kill Palestinians and shoot them, and it's just become a completely normal thing. I'm not making a political statement here. It's a very complex situation in Palestine and Israel. I'm neither for or against either side, but I'm just pointing out that what was considered something just completely wrong and abominable a short time ago has become a very ordinary thing in that area. The Israelis, some of them, an increasing number it seems, think that, well, we should just kill all the Palestinians, including the children. Why the children? What? Because, well, they'll grow up to be snakes, so better kill them now. That's their idea. Some of them think like that. See? So, what can we expect? And then people grow up in an atmosphere where they feel so much pain in themselves that they think the only thing they can think is to give pain to others. The only pleasure they can take, they children grow up without being loved, and just they have to survive in a harsh world, and they don't know what love is, or affection is, even on the material platform. And so the only pleasure they get, that's tamagun, of giving pain to others, but even so-called ordinary people, they don't care about the pain that they give to animals. They think, well, tastes good. Even they may know it's not very good for their health. Their pleasure is more important to them than the pain that is inflicted on the animals. The pain that they get from the moment they're born until they're slaughtered. But they don't care. Their own pleasure becomes more important. What a nasty society. And what to speak of these computer games? Well, they can go and join some many people from the Western world and from Russia also, so we're told, who are they're Muslims, and they go and join these what are called extremist Muslim outfits, and then instead of just on a computer screen zapping some person into non-existence, they can do it live, personally. You can actually capture some enemy soldiers and slit their throats or shoot them in the head. A great attraction of these Muslim terrorists, or whatever you want to call them, outfits, is that they're so blasé, or they don't care about killing others and giving them pain, and they seem to take pleasure in it. Speaking of Russia, some years ago in Russia, must have been during the 1990s, I guess, I was on a train in the Golden Ring area, and we were in a compartment, a coupe, and there was myself and Gunadham, who's disciple there, translator, and there was one man there with two men, and one of them had this can of canned fish, which he opened with his knife, and he showed the knife to his friend in a, I thought his looks kind of threatening, so I asked Gundam what he's saying. He said that he was just in Chechnya. He was an army man. He'd just been in Chechnya, and he was showing him. He said, "With this knife, I took out the eyes and cut off the ears of so many people." He was boasting to him while they're alive. He was boasting, and he thought that was very nice. Oh, great pleasure! It's a cruelty, so cruel. Oh. How can they be so cruel? But he can do it. He thinks, yeah, very nice, very good. And the world is becoming more and more like that. Even in the name of religion, they think it's our religion to kill people. But already they have it to kill animals. It's part of their religion. So it's bizarre how they can do that. So this Krishna conscious movement is very much needed in this horrible situation of human society. At least we can create some communities like this, at least to protect. Some devotees can come and live sheltered, and some children can be raised in an atmosphere where they're not subjected to these things. I don't understand actually why devotees, they're living in the cities, they're householders, they're living there because they like to live there. And if they're offered to come and live in the farm Krishna conscious community, they don't want to. They say, oh, we can preach in the city, but their preaching is maybe 3-4 hours a week, and they're working is minimum 30, 40, and in India, no one. In the West, 40, is 40 hours still the average working week? But in India, it must be 60, I would think. Average. And many work more hours. But even our devotees, they prefer to live. They're just attached to that, the so-called comforts. But why would they want to live in that demoniac society with among that atmosphere of competition and envy? The people, the so-called good jobs, in the so-called good jobs, people are envious of each other, trying to get a better position, and such a nasty atmosphere. And they want to raise, and they think it's good to raise their children in that atmosphere, so they can also become a semi-demon, semi-devotee. Because they want them to be a success in the modern world. Success in the modern world means you have to be a demon. Or at least imbued with qualities that are more of the demoniac life than the devotional life. Anyway, let's develop these communities with no envy. How no envy? Then we have to imbue the atmosphere of das anudas 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 anudas. We're here to serve others, not to exploit others. And raise the children in an atmosphere where they naturally tend to love others and respect others rather than to hate others and to fear them. In the modern world, it's easier to hate than to love. It's just the atmosphere is there. It's easier to be nasty than to be kind. It's maybe not a good policy to be kind. That's why in big cities, someone sees someone else, maybe they're lying on the ground calling out help. Many people won't go to them because they're afraid that it's just someone posing like that who's actually a thief who will, when they come to help them, they bow down to help them, then some other people come from behind and in that, because when you're walking along in the, you have to be alert, you see, no one's stealing, no one's going to attack you, but when you go down, when you bow down to help someone, then others can attack you easily. So people may not help others, even if they want to, because they're afraid that it's actually a trick. We used to see in Oxford Street, central London, this was the 1970s, distributing books there. We knew who were the Scandinavians because they had their wallet in their back pocket. Because in Scandinavia at that time, you could walk around with your wallet in your back pocket. No one will steal it. But and then in the waste bins on the street, you'll find so many empty wallets. Because the thieves, they have a wonderful time. They just pick out the wallets from people's back pockets, empty it of everything, and throw it in the bin. I was in early 1980s in Denmark collecting money for purchasing vehicles for preaching in Nepal and Bangladesh. You walk in the bank, it's just like an office with open desks, and the money is in the desk, and you just pull it out, and then there's no security because there was not. I very much doubt if it's like that now. But there was no idea of armed robbery or any kind of robbery. I went again in Denmark. I was going office to office, and I went in one door, and it was actually I went in the warehouse of some place where they're making silver items, and there was no one there. It was just full of all silver items. The door was open. That was Denmark in the early 1980s. I doubt very much if it's like that now. Because things are... But even at that time, they had... Still in India, there are some places, I'm told, where the people leave their doors open and they walk out to the door and they go away. But it's going away because no one can trust anyone. It's becoming like that. With drug usage, the parents can't trust their children. The children will kill them to take their money so they can get drugs. Horrible, horrible, horrible society. Very nasty society. We have to. It's our duty and gratefulness to Srila Prabhupada for what he's given us. We really have to try to show something better. And everyone within the community has a duty to really act in the best possible way. That could be the biggest challenge, not living without electricity, but actually to live as a human being when we don't have the training. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments, please? Yeah.
Is it possible that demons follow Varnashram?
Is it possible that demons follow Varnashram? Yeah, it's called Asura Varnashram. It's often mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's books. It's the opposite of Daiva Varnashrama. So we find that Duryodhan, he was following all Varnashram. He was a demon.
So those who are followers of Varnashram, are they supposed to be free from this quality of envy?
The followers of Varnashram free from envy? Not exactly. Varnashram is a system to help to purify us. If you're free from envy, you don't need Varnashram. There's no Varnashram in Satya Yoga because people were largely free from envy. It's Varnashram is a system to regulate imperfection. So don't expect that everyone in Varnashram side is going to be perfect because it's meant for imperfect people. But the Asura Varnashram is people take to that system and exploit it because they don't put Krishna in the center. Varnashram is meant for Varnashram Acharavata Purushena Paraf Puman Vishnur Aradyate Panta Ananyat Tatosha Karanam. Varnashram is meant for worshipping Vishnu. Without that, it becomes demoniac. And then you get the caste system. And some of the devotees in our movement are afraid of that. That we're going to institute it. They say, oh, Varnashram, why do you want to bring back the caste system? They don't understand. I don't think they ever read Prabhupada's books. It's not caste system.
So modern society is not even following that also. It is even...
No, modern society doesn't follow even the demoniac Varnashram system. They've gone further down. In Varnashram means a hierarchical system, but they have some idealistic or utopian idea of rejecting hierarchy, so everyone's all equal, which is nonsense. It's not possible. But there's some idea, everyone is equal, like that. And they won't like Varnashram, because in Varnashram society, even with Varnashram posts or positions in society given not by birth but by qualities, but different people have... We talk about human rights, but Shudras don't have the same rights as Brahmanas. But that's true even in the so-called egalitarian society. There's always... Just like... generally speaking, blacks in America are considered or discriminated against in comparison to whites, or Mexicans are discriminated against, or people who have wealth, they'll be better treated by the police and the justice system generally than those who don't. Vittameva kalonrinam janmachara gunadaya. In Kali Yuga, if one has money, then he's considered to be aristocratic, gentlemanly, to be a good person if you have money. If you don't have money, you're just useless. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.